It's Wednesday, December 20th, 2017. This is Bob and Ed's Movie Podcast.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Ed.
So this week, it's been a little while. We didn't have a chance to record it right away, but it's Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yep, we saw it. We did. First day, maybe not necessarily first showing.
No.
But I guess it was second showing?
I don't know.
First showing was 7 o'clock, and we saw it at 8, so we couldn't have been on too far off.
Yeah.
So, as with these major movies, we'll do a regular review, spoiler-free, as much as we can in the beginning, and then we'll get into the spoiler territories. So, start with you. What did you think?
I thought it was okay. Like, there's a lot of really cool things in it, but there's also a whole lot of section that I just went... Every time they cut to it, there was like a D storyline that I went, yeah, you probably could have rewritten this where this entire thing didn't happen, and I'd still be okay with the film.
Yeah, we could probably talk about it in the spoilers of how we can easily have done that, but...
But
yes. Yes, there was a D storyline.
Yeah, and for a 2.5 hour film...
Or a fourth storyline, however you want to look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4 Yeah. So, and that almost includes there was a 1A and 1B storyline.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was, it got all the way down to, I don't know, like, however you want to look at that. But yes.
Yeah. So what did you think?
My initial reaction was I was disappointed. It was just more of a disappointment. I think maybe part of it is leading up to it, so many people were just saying this is the best Star Wars since Empire. It's, you know, it showed up on list of, you know, on the outside looking in, basically, for Oscar, you know, for Best Picture. It's like, wow, this must be awesome. Everyone, you know, you're gonna love it. It's the right direction, blah blah blah. And so I was just expecting this is, you know, if someone says it's, I think even some people were even saying it was better than Jedi. I mean, better than Empire. So with that in mind, this, it wasn't.
Like that, it was a letdown.
Yeah, it was, you know, just spoilers. It's not as good as Empire. And we had just watched Empire a few days before. So it was really fresh in my mind. It probably didn't help that I actually watched, I'm not even sure. I think it's Collective Learning. I think that's a Ayers guy.
Yeah. That's Collective Learning. Thing, the guy with the like British
accent. He did a whole thing on Empire, on what makes it a great movie. And so don't watch that before you watch.
Actually, don't watch any of his stuff before you're going to watch something else.
Yeah, something. Exactly. Because this one in particular, it went like really detail of what Empire did that most movies don't do, and what makes that such a, you know, what made them all genius decisions, and what made, you know, what made those elements just stand out and were so special. And there were things that he said, instead of doing this, they did this. And the things he said not to do, Last Jedi literally did. I mean, like, it was almost like they watched this video and went, oh, we're not supposed to do it? Well, we're going to do exactly that.
Yeah.
And there were some where it was like, and that might have been part of why I was kind of disappointed, where, I mean, there were parts where I was thinking, Collective Learning just said yesterday not to do that, and you did that.
Which I didn't watch that. I think I've seen that one before, but it wasn't fresh in my mind.
I think it was fresh in mind. There were some there where I was like, I could still hear his voice in my head saying, whatever you do, don't do this.
And it's like, they did that.
Oh, they did that. And so maybe that's part of the reason why I had such a negative review, negative thought of there was...
Well, just a heads up. I didn't do that. And I still had a negative.
I know, and so did the boy. The boy, he came out and he was like, I was disappointed.
And you gotta remember, the boy is like still young enough where it's like, I like everything.
Yeah. So,
well, except for like La La Land. But you know.
Other than La La Land, he likes it, you know, pretty much likes everything. And yeah, but as the days have gone on, I think I just realized it was there were just specific things I didn't like. But I shouldn't let that overshadow the fact that there was a lot of really good stuff.
There's a lot of good stuff. It's just that my...
We mentioned the 1A and 1B storyline. Those were amazing.
Yeah.
It's the main storyline is really, really good.
It's the, if you watch this, you're going to like it. You're not going to like everything about it.
Yes.
But at the same time, when it's all said and done, you're like, do you want to watch it again? Yeah, I could watch it again.
Yes. And I think the things that I didn't like are extremely forgettable. And so as every day goes on, it's like I kind of forget that I even saw those parts of the film. And the parts that I did like stick with you. I mean, they really stick with you for a while. Some of them you might not like. So from a Star Wars fan point of view, there's a couple things where it's like, nah, I don't know if I like that. But if you're not super fanboy about it, you probably like it even more than a regular Star Wars.
If you just like film, yeah, you're going to like it probably more than...
Yeah, yeah. From a solo film, this is just the story being told in this film. That's all we care about. There's elements of it where, oh, that makes sense in the storytelling of a single film. You know, and then you bring up, well, wait a minute, you know, it doesn't make as much sense in terms of this is the 8th film and possibly 12 films. How does that make sense? And it's like, well, that's not my problem. I'm just looking at this film. So,
From my Stan Lee, Everyone's Comics, the first comic, if this is your first Star Wars film.
And I talked to some people who literally this was their first Star Wars film. They had never seen another Star Wars film. They're like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I mean, at some point, if you go into a blind and you like it, then it's probably a pretty good film.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the thing I was trying to like get over, which is one of the reasons why I wasn't too thrilled on doing this right away, is the, am I critiquing this because I've grew up watching, you know, Star Wars films. Yeah. I've read some of the books.
Exactly.
You know, it's the, I know a lot about Star Wars.
There is that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, according to Splinter in the Mind's Eye, Page, whatever, you can't do that. It's, you kind of get into, you don't want to fall into that trap.
Yeah. But from just a straight, like, movie making, there's still issues. There is, like...
Yeah, there is just there's some that, logical problems where
and it's, there's that D storyline where you're like, it's a 2.5-hour film. You could have figured out how to not have this.
Yeah, there, you could have made one line.
Not only that, it's...
End of storyline. Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's like it didn't really... I don't want to say it didn't go anywhere, but...
It was a plot device to fix something else, I feel. And you could have fixed it another way.
Yeah. It would have been... You could have just waved your hand and said some technobabble, and you could have just avoided the whole 20 minutes.
All right.
And that's... I don't know.
I don't want to get too much too long into
it. Yeah, you don't want to get too into it, so that like start to get spoilers. Yeah. So you don't want to do that. But it's definitely worth watching.
I will watch it again in the theater, probably not, just because
there's too much to see.
There's too much.
That's more if there wasn't as much to see, I would already be us planning to go this weekend to go see,
I would
something, but there's like way too much for us to see, and so it's just going to get squeezed out because of that. Not necessarily because I don't want to see it. I do actually want to see it in the theater again.
Yeah,
because the main storyline's really good. There's some stuff. There's one particular scene that might be the best scene in any of the movies. I mean, just the way it was set up and the way it was...
The payoff.
Yeah,
and
the payoff was like... I had to keep from saying it's like, okay, that was worth it. That was well done crafting that scene. You did that perfectly.
But at the same time, that's also in a... In the universe of all the films, wait, why didn't you guys do this before?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it did raise questions, but for whatever reason, it was like, I'll let it slide.
Because
it was such a good scene, I'll let it slide.
There's so. I'm trying to remember what screenwriter or director I saw. It's like, you can get away with flaws if the story kind of justifies it. And, the film justifies that flaw because this is good enough that you'll sweep that under the rug. You're like, okay, whatever. And that's where some films where it's all like, there's suspension of disbelief, and you're like, okay, that's awesome. That's really cool. It doesn't make logical sense, but it was really cool in the filmmaker's point of view.
Yeah, and this was one of those scenes where it's, you know, to critique it, you had to pull out the Star Wars tech manual and start searching through the tech manual to like say, no, but wait a second. So that's why I like, I'll give it a pass.
Awesome.
Because it was an awesome scene.
And not only that, it's the way it was shot and filmed and just sound designed in that. Because like the sound design was like, oh wow, this is like...
Yeah, everything about this one particular scene was like, that was amazing. That was, you know, I wish you did the same thing with everything else in the film. I wish everything else in this film was amazing. It would have been the greatest movie of all time. But yeah, there's other stuff where it's just, I mean, there's just some things, you know, it was anti-Chekhov's gun and some stuff where things are, something's introduced and it's like, oh, cool, this is going to have an awesome payoff. And you get to the end of the movie, it's like, oh, I guess it didn't. Yeah. you didn't do it at all. Okay, that's, all right, whatever.
All right. Well, for 2.5 hours, like, you could have maybe
You could have not done that? okay.
Yeah.
But bottom line, so what do you, let's get into the spoilers soon, but before we do, what do you give it?
As a film, I give it an 8.
I think that's what I give it to.
It's the, I want to watch it again.
I think that's what I'm going to give it.
I want to watch it again in a theater if I had free time. It's not perfect, but for my standalone film... It's good.
Yeah.
From, I guess, Star Wars, in the universe of Star Wars, it might technically have a lower rating in my head.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. This is definitely going to be one where I could see, a year from now after watching it a couple times, the rating change. Because, definitely like Rogue One.
Rogue One, like...
Yeah, that one is like, that doesn't age very well. Once you get a chance to really think about things and really look at it a few times and have a few things pointed out, it's like, oh, wow.
Well, this one, there was a couple times where it's like, I stopped and thought about it and I went, actually, that does make more sense. Like, if they didn't do it this way...
Yeah. There was... I don't know. I kind of wonder. It's Rian Johnson, right? That's his.
Yeah.
This is the second movie. The other one being Looper, where I just feel like I'm not on the same. Like, I'm not synced up with him.
Because
for whatever reason, because other people are like
there's a lot of people who love Looper
and they love this film, and it's like I just feel sometimes like. Maybe we're just not on the same page or not just synced up right because I'm just not...
Which is funny because I didn't like Looper when I saw it also. When it ended, I went, oh, all right. I was kind of looking forward to this film like a lot because I really liked his first two films.
Oh, I haven't... I don't think I've seen this first.
Brick and The Brothers Bloom.
Yeah.
Brick, I watch. I just throw it on occasionally because it's just a neat, like, good background thing.
That.
But I know people that don't like that either. And
not
I'm like, funny. Okay.
Not funny. But yeah, I talked to a bunch of people who, they love Looper. They really like this. We're just amazed by it. So I just don't know if we're...
You know what? Not every film's for everybody.
Yeah,
sometimes
this is
it's
true.
Just...
Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
But...
So let's get into some spoiler territory. So if you... haven't seen this and don't want it ruined or
watch this in a month when you finally watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Return to this so you can hear what we complain about. So warning here, be spoilers. You've been duly warned.
All right. So,
kind of taken off from some of what the, I think it was Confused Matthew had brought up in the prequels, like the first two crawls, the prequels make like zero sense. You read them and you're like, I have no idea what's going on here. This doesn't make any sense.
Actually, the prequels, episode one, where it's like Trade
you
Federation.
I know you're reading it like, wait a second, I didn't know there was going to be homework.
Was I supposed to also pick, like, is this also my homework for Econ today?
Yeah, no kidding. It's like, what is going on here? Now I'm more confused. One, it was like, the crawl for this was like, okay. I get it. I understand. I know what's going on. So, like, you know, they're trying to evacuate the base, trying to get everything onto the Mon Calamari ship. You know, there's the comedic. That seems to be. It's never good when one of the first scenes is super polarizing with his I'm holding for General Hux joke, where, I mean, even some people that liked it, the movie, were like, that joke just, they should have not done that.
Because that is, like, basically the opening.
Yeah, it kind of set the tone, and it...
It set the tone in a very odd way.
Because that wasn't the tone for the rest of the film.
Yeah.
It was very, like, why are you setting the wrong tone? It's very weird. It was a joke that wasn't necessary.
Not only that, it's a joke that it almost comes across as a Disney executive had written a joke and given it to, like, James Gunn to put in it for Star-Lord. And James Gunn went,
well, I'm not going to do this.
I'm not going to do this. And, like, left it on a table in a board, you know, in the lobby. Yep. And then, like, Rian Johnson's like, next guy in. And he's like,
next guy in. I guess I got to do this.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. It felt like a Star-Lord joke. Like, he's got to say something. Yeah, some executive's like, he's got to be more like Star-Lord. And so, all right, I'll write you a Star-Lord joke.
Yeah.
And, you know, James Gunn, can you write me a Star-Lord joke? Like, okay, yeah, sure. Here's a Star-Lord joke. Here's something Star-Lord would do. It's like, all right, I'll throw that in the beginning. And then we can move on to having just regular stuff. Yeah, because it didn't, the holding for General Hux thing, it seemed like it was completely out of context. Like, why is he doing this joke? It's not fitting into what he's doing and what's going on. And like,
it didn't fit in at all. Now, some people might go like, hey, it's similar to Han Solo's, everything's fine here. How are you?
I guess that's what they were trying to get to.
But it's a I'm waiting on hold joke that seems to not make sense in the universe.
Yeah, they were doing something like the Han Solo, everything's fine here. He was, like, just trying to figure out how to stall them while they were trying to figure something out. So it was just to show that he was put in this position where it's like ad-lib. It's like, I don't know what
I'm
to say.
I'm a horrible ad-libber.
Yeah, I'm a horrible ad-libber. And that's where the comedy comes in, where that's not what's happening here. Had he been Poe been doing something where he was trying to stall for time, it would have made more sense.
But he wasn't even really... It didn't come across like he was stalling
for
time.
Yeah, it wasn't like... Yeah, he wasn't stalling for time. I mean, it wasn't... Yeah, anyway. So then there's... He destroys more gun towers. Pew, pew, pew. And then the...
Then there was some more comic relief with BB-8.
Yeah, BB-8.
Having to fix the targeting system.
Yeah, it was kind of an odd... Oh, well, whatever. I was okay with that. They're trying to get the stuff off the base before the big gun on the dreadnought does something.
Well, one of the issues I almost don't want to do a like scene by scene breakdown, but one of the issues I have is what's going on in this universe. If you got the previous movie. Where the First Order doesn't seem like they're this big, powerful thing without the giant Death Star planet. And you destroy that, and then you also destroy the capital. It seems like there should be almost a power vacuum going on.
I still don't know where the First Order fits into this universe.
Yeah.
I didn't understand really what was where it fit into the previous... Because, I mean, in the previous one, it, like, just wiped out three planets that had, presumably, like, regular citizens on it. So, it's like, well, what are you trying to rule them, or are you trying to take them over? Because I don't get how destroying them is going to get you anywhere.
If it was, we're going to try to rule the entire galaxy, and by doing that, we use as an example... We destroy the capital.
Okay.
As
but
like
then
a
presumably
symbol.
There would be another military that the Republic has.
Which my thought was that It was their thought was, yeah, but we have this Death Star that their military can't take, so we basically destroy capital as a, hey, we can do this, surrender to us, and we take over. And then when the rebellion, which is now the resistance, destroyed that, it causes a power vacuum as the...
But then there still should have been a military that the Republic yes, had.
That's the problem. There should have been a military there. You know, you could say, oh, most of it was destroyed with the entire galaxy planet system that the planet, you know...
But even then, that's kind of like doesn't make any sense because they establish there's all these planets everywhere yeah. that people are on. So it's like you have all of your stuff at one place.
Which is one. Here's the problem. That's what this film feels like they've done. It's the all our ships are destroyed. All our Republic ships are destroyed, and we're only the resistance is there. Wait, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so who destroyed those things? Was it the First Order?
Because if it's the First Order, wait, were they that powerful at the last film? Because this film takes place right after that one ended, basically.
Yeah, like just right into
just
it.
Right at the end. And that they didn't seem like they were galaxy dominating, nor if the death of this small group of the Resistance would affect the rest of the galaxy. The problem is it should have been the opening crawl should have been straight up like...
This is what's happening.
This is what's happening. Not only that, it should be with the destruction of the Death Star planet, which I don't remember what they
actually... Starkiller Base.
Starkiller Base. And destruction of the primary Republic forces. There's now full-on like Civil War type thing, where it's like the First Order versus the remaining... military of it, and this is just a war story in the middle of it.
That would at least made more sense.
That would have made more sense.
I mean, because you at no time do you have any question in Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi. What, like, okay, the Empire, it's this all your all these planets are part of the Galactic Empire. The Galactic Empire took over just before New Hope. There was a Senate that ran the Republic. The Senate was disbanded in New Hope. All that, everything makes sense. Like, yeah. Okay, I get it.
Okay.
They even have like that line. Like, regional governors are going to control every planet or every system.
Every system.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like, there's no corresponding line in here to explain, okay, like, you know, Snoke is he the emperor of everything? But he's not? I don't...
If he is, of what? Like, yeah, is the First Order in charge of everything? Or not, because it didn't seem like you guys were in charge of anything.
I guess they say in the novelization or somewhere they establish in this movie, the flagship that Snoke's on is where all of the First Order leadership is. Everything is there. That's where they establish, I guess, that everything is there. So effectively, in the middle ones and Empire and whatnot, all the leadership's on Coruscant, which is where the galaxy is ruled by, at least that's the capital of it.
Yeah.
But I guess they're not on Coruscant. They're all on this flagship. Well, that's...
Because okay, they're not in charge of everything. But also, it was like... Because the whole opening bit is... We gotta take out this... what was the name? The type of ship it was?
Is it Dreadnought?
Dreadnought. We gotta take out this Dreadnought.
We gotta take out this Dreadnought.
It's a fleet killer. Wait, where'd you get that much power? You seem more of a, hey, let's start small, have small ships, and just make a Starkiller base. That's our shows up and destroys, you know.
Yeah, because Starkiller Base is like the size of a planet, so it's still like...
It destroys the sun to power up.
Yeah, so it's like, well, how did you guys get all that?
Like, and not be noticed.
And not be noticed. And if you're that powerful that you could do that, like, I don't...
Because one of the things that actually bugs me is later in the film, at some point, we find out that... You know, D storyline. They're on a weapon. You know,
they're in Las Vegas.
They're basically in Las Vegas, but at some point, they're on a ship that oh, this dude made all his money from selling weapons to the Empire, to the First Order. Oh, wait, he also sold to the Resistance. That,
I get they were trying to make some sort of political statement, oh, but all it did is, like, it made it more confusing because it's like, well, now, wait a minute.
Wait. If they're buying from the same guys, then the amount of power that they should have ship-wise should be equal.
Yeah. Because why would you make X-Wings if you were... why would you make X-Wings if you could sell 100 times more TIE Fighters? Like, I'm just going to sell TIE Fighters. Why am I going to sell X-Wings? Like, and what, I'm only going to sell X-Wings just to the Rebellion? And what, the First Order doesn't know this? And then it kind of raised, like, more questions of, well, wait, if the First Order is buying weapons from these people, and the Rebels are buying them from these people, then they're really the people that run everything are these people.
Yeah.
Like, that's who's in charge, not either of these two. Because at any time, they could just say, well, we're just not going to sell you any more weapons.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do about it?
We have the weapons.
Like, we have the weapons, and presumably if they're, like, they had enough power, it's like, we have our own military, or we have our own, you know, mercenary, whatever. It's like, you can try to attack us if you want, but sorry, remember, like, we're the ones that built what you're using.
Yeah.
And there's probably a good chance that we didn't sell you the best of them. Like, we keep that. We sold you the next best.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, when we probably aren't that dumb, we probably also put in, like, a little backdoor codes where it's like, if you do try to attack us, we'll just turn your ship off.
Yeah.
How's that work?
Yeah.
It's, like, we're the ones that built it. You didn't. So we know the ins and outs of it. And you, there's no way you could.
Yeah. And that's what bugs me about this is, like, this should be a middle of a two factors fighting for control of the galaxy.
Yeah.
Of equal footing.
And it wasn't.
And this entire film comes across as one's more powerful than the other by a significant amount and is ready to crush them.
Yeah. And they didn't, you know, and it's still in the, even in the universe, it never quite makes any sense for the movies. You know, the Rebels' main ship wasn't even designed by either of those, any of the companies that were at the Las Vegas. It was a Mon Calamari ship, which is Admiral Akbar's people. They're the ones that built that huge ship.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that build the gigantic ships that fight, at least in the Rebellion, which is always wondering, it's like, well, is the Mon Calamari fighting, or are they just people from the Mon Calamari fighting the Rebellion? And it just kind of raises more questions. I mean, I guess I don't want to get too much into the minutiae of that.
I don't want to read like 30 books, yeah, but at the same time, exactly. It's the, you left some questions because I watched the last one.
Yeah.
And I watched this one.
If you didn't want those questions, don't go to Las Vegas and then make it like some sort of like political statement during the movie. It's like, if you didn't want me to think about it, then don't bring it up.
Yeah.
It's like, you're the one that brought it up. I didn't
bring up the whole who's selling the weapons.
Yeah. I mean,
you guys did.
I got what there's. And yeah, it was like, the whole thing was like, well, this doesn't make any sense. Like, all these people are super rich. Well, that means, like, do they control the First Order? Because, I mean, it seems like if they're the super wealthy and they have all this power, or at least wealth, that would presumably be power, does that mean they have more sway over the First Order than we realize?
Unless this gets brought up in the third film...
Yeah,
you just opened up way too much,
and it wasn't, and that was specifically a storyline. You know,
and that's the thing that storyline.
You know, they had, because they had to, you know, Finn and Rose come up with this, like, oh, we understand why, you know, at some point it's established that the Empire can track things through hyperspace, and so they come up with this idea that we got to turn off the tracker, but we have to get on the ship, and we have to get somebody, some code breaker, and so we have to go to Vegas. I mean, it did look like Vegas too. It's like, as I think other people have mentioned, it was the least alien of all the worlds they had been in. It's felt like, oh, this just felt like you're in Las Vegas. In fact, Las Vegas seems more alien than what you showed me.
Anyway. Yeah, it actually has a vibe of. Okay, so this is what Disney's going to make their Vegas hotel look like.
Yeah. Yeah, almost. Or like, if Disney looked at what Vegas was in the 60s, what would be a kid-friendly version of that? And that's what it kind of felt like. This isn't even like this isn't even a futuristic version of what Vegas is now. This is a futuristic version of what Vegas was 50 years ago.
Someone watched Ocean's 11.
Yeah, the original Ocean's 11. Then just like went, what would an alien planet like look like of that? And that's what they came up with. It was just,
and that's the entire storyline that
could have easily been just wiped away by, hey, you know, I'm taking Finn to the brig because he's trying to escape for some reason. He's trying to leave. Hey, now we realize what happened in the brig. They're tracking us. If there's only someone that could have gotten us into there, and Benicio Del Toro could have said, open up the cell and said, well, I can get you in there.
I can get you in there.
And that's it.
And well, not only that.
All I need is a flux capacitor. Okay, that's...
Well, not only that. I'm skipping around a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot more than we normally do. It's the Benicio Del Toro's character... DJ, I think his name was.
Yeah, DJ.
All right. Uses like, some sort of
literally
cloaking...
letter D, letter J. Yeah. This isn't like some like alien thing. It's just like letter D, letter J.
Yeah. He uses some sort of cloak thing to get onto the first order ship, which the same technology the Resistance uses later in the film that. To hide what they're doing from the Empire.
Which presumably means someone on that ship knew how to do it.
Which is why if you had... Your thought, Ed, if it was Benicio Del Toro already on that ship, it's the... Wait, how'd they know learn how to do that? Oh, okay, it was Benicio Del Toro and... And they learn it from him, and that's also why he went on there because he was
it would have explained everything.
It would have explained why.
Because at some point, Benicio Del Toro tells the First Order, oh, they're cloaking their ships, but it was.
But like, at the same time.
At the same time, it was like, but none of the characters involved in that story knew they were cloaking their ships. Like, you just guessed?
Yeah.
Because even, like, the people in the ships didn't, like, the main ship didn't know they were going to do that. There was a select few where like, let's do this as part of our getaway. We're going to cloak our ships and go to this planet. How did Benicio Del Toro know that? Because that wasn't just they were cloaking the ships. It was they were cloaking the ships to go to that planet. It's like, well, there was only a handful of people on the main cruiser that knew they were going to do that. They had a whole mutiny involving...
People
Knowing that they were going to do that. And yet Benicio Del Toro just like, oh yeah, you might want to check. They probably cloaked their stuff and go into this planet. Like, well...
Wait, how did you know that? Nobody knew
like,
that.
Yeah, no one knew that. That part... In fact, that whole thing didn't make... I felt as though I missed something. Like there was a major scene cut out. Because all of a sudden, they get captured. And then they're...
About
to be executed. And then Benicio Del Toro shows up and says, hey, you know, you got to go to the highest price or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then Huck says, thanks to him, we know that they are cloaking their ships. And it was like, well, wait, what?
How did all this happen?
Like, he was still trying to break into the thing. If it wasn't for the BB-9 or whatever it is, unit seeing BB-8.
BB-8.
Yeah, they would have successfully turned off the flux capacitor that was there, which looked a lot like
a flux capacitor. Yeah.
That was the only reason why the plan failed, is because something just happened to catch BB-8. So it wasn't Benicio Del Toro didn't sell them out. So
he just sold them out after he was captured, but that would require him to know the original plan.
And that would also require them to be honorable enough to like let Benicio Del Toro go. Like, okay, we're still going to kill you.
Yeah.
We changed our mind. Like, why are they being compassionate with Benicio Del Toro? It made zero. I guess it was supposed to get us to not like Benicio Del Toro, but it was like, well, he never really did all that much for us to like you to begin with. So...
It's the, I never liked you in the beginning.
Yeah.
You haven't done anything. I was expecting him, and it's almost a call. It was a callback. It was a callback to Star Wars, like the New Hope, that I thought was going to have a payoff where he comes out later in the film and does something, you know, to save the guys. But it's the... Nope, you never see him again.
I think there was a lot of that in this film. We're going to do a callback to previous movies, so that you think this something's going to happen, just so they can say, nope, it's not going to happen. We're going to call back to, like you said, to Han Solo and him taking off and like, oh, he'll come back and help us. Nope. There's a call back to, oh, here's our plan. And all we have to do is do this and the fleet can get away. Oh, that didn't work. There's, you know, call back to, there was like a number of the callbacks of, oh, well, Luke's going to, you know, at the end, Luke's going to try to tell Kylo Ren that he still senses good inside of him and get him to turn. It was like, nope, we're not going to do that either. And so I think there was a bunch of, we're not going to do what we did before, which is fine.
Which is fine. The issue was, it's the, well, you actually never get, it's the, you, the callback would have completed something. Or you could have gone a different way and completed something. But the issue is you just went halfway.
Yeah, he didn't complete anything. The DJ storyline didn't complete at all.
Not only that, the DJ storyline, like how they get to him by going to Vegas and all that was 25 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
Other than like the callback at the very end. Where it goes back to that planet to have like a conversation about
which I guess that's what they were trying to do was it was setting up future stuff, but it's like, wow, that's a lot of time to set up future stuff that just didn't need to be set up.
It's the you can
and you know, and even more so if Benicio del Toro didn't if his character wasn't quirky, which I kind of think was just Benicio del Toro, not required.
In the grand scheme of things, I feel with Benicio del Toro is, basically you hire Benicio del Toro to do what he needs to do.
Yeah,
and you film
it
that
like 100% like this is a character, and then Benicio del Toro says, "I'm going to give this guy a stutter."
Why?
And they're like,
because
my character, yeah, my character has a stutter.
It's
that's what you say.
His character in Usual Suspects was never supposed to be like.
Yeah, that was all Benicio del Toro. Yeah. So, if it wasn't for the fact that Benicio del Toro makes him a memorable character, you'd completely forget that he exists.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why you remember.
He actually really doesn't do anything other than like, hey, it's a way to go continue the storyline. Because it would have actually. Maybe even done better, and you can have shortened it. You would have had to figure out what to do with Luke. If you don't have Benicio del Toro giving away the thing, the film ends with like them stuck on the planet, sending the message. The First Order destroys their ship because the one lady doesn't have to go into warp into it to try to save the rest. Which, by the way, it's all like, wait. They really destroy that big ship. It looks like you're all evacuating because, like, that same spaceport thing is where they almost got executed Finn and all of them. It looked like they barely escaped that. But you had enough foresight and enough going on to, like, hey, let's get these walkers on the...
All I gathered was the ship was so big they had multiple hangars. That's all I can get out of. Because I know, I was thinking the same thing. It's like you just established they had all these walkers... And all these troops ready to go to the planet, and then the ship gets hit by the other ship, and everything is in flames.
But yet
still people end up on the planet.
People end up on the planet. You even have a line where you can't bombard them from space. With what? You have a ship that looked like it was just cut in half.
Unless there would have been other ships, because there were still other Star Destroyers. Although. It almost kind of looked like some of the other Star Destroyers were hit by the...
Debris
as well. Yeah. It looked like there was other stuff got blown up.
So it looked like it almost...
It did like raise a question. It's like, okay, you guys came down to this planet with all these walkers. How are you going to leave? Because your ship just got destroyed. I mean, it might still be floating around, but you can't leave.
Yeah.
That thing got cut in half.
What are you doing here?
What is your plan?
What are you going to... Okay, you destroy that. You do your thing. Now what? Which is why I think it would have been even better. And it's an Empire, you know, ends on a downer, not an upper. They get away to that ship. They send the message. They're like, hopefully somebody responds. We're stuck on this planet if nobody does. And the Empire goes, good, the resistance is destroyed. you know,
that's it.
We won, and they're thought of you.
And that is kind of funny. It's like if they would have just stayed in orbit, that was it. They couldn't go anywhere.
But even then, it's the if the Empire didn't know that they were there, and you just destroyed the ship, and they went, okay, cool, we're gonna take off because there's no more resistance, and then it's just, hey, we're 40 people or 100 people or however many people on this planet. We just sent off a message. We can't even get off this planet.
Even then, the number of people that were left was kind of... everything about that was kind of weird. It was all the ships that were... The small ships that were evacuating the main cruiser for some reason couldn't turn. They just could only go in, like, straight lines. That was weird. They couldn't spread apart and try to avoid getting blown out by the Empire's main long-range guns. That was really weird. And then I guess there was only a few people that were left.
And then there's another issue I have where there's the... You're on one side of a planet. Like, you seem to be faster. Go on the other side of the planet.
Yeah,
get a planet between you two.
Yeah, no kidding. Didn't you see Wrath of Khan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You're close enough to a planet, you could have just done that. I don't know. And then slowly, like, drop people down and, like, send someone down, turn on the shield generator so you can't be bombarded from space, and then just kind of do that. There might be fuel down there that you could have refueled and...
Done something. There's numerous ways they could have fixed this. Because another thing, you had brought it up early. There is, like, precedent in the stories and all that where... Because the whole thing is, hey, we have a... they're tracking us through light speed.
Yes, through hyperspace.
Through hyperspace. They could have... There are ships that in Star Wars universe that prevent other ships from going to...
Yeah, they're called interdictors.
Yeah, interdictors.
And they prevent you from going to hyperspace if they can track you in hyperspace and make you come out of it. It's actually a really cool story in Star Wars Rebels where they really get into that, where all of a sudden they just get pulled out of hyperspace. Like, what just happened? And they're like, we can't jump, so we have to... We have to fight now. It's like, we don't want to, but we have to because we can't leave.
Which you use that in this storyline. It gets rid of the whole... It kind of gets rid of the whole concept of, hey, we got to get rid of this tracking device that's, you know, whatever.
Then it just becomes the interdictor.
Then it just becomes the interdictor.
We got to turn off the... We got, you know, a callback to Star Wars. We got to turn off the... interdictor machine, just like Obi-Wan had to turn off the shield generator.
Shield generator. So you have that concept. They could have done that.
That explains why all these subships, because there was at the beginning of the chase story, there's like five or six cruisers that are with this battle cruiser. And they slowly just fall behind and get destroyed.
Because they get run out of fuel.
Run out of fuel, but it's like, well, why didn't they just jump into hyperspace?
To some other location. Like, you're not going to follow all of them.
Can't follow all of you. They didn't have enough ships to follow all of you. And they even established by Finn and Rose, only one ship is actually tracking us. So if all the ships go into a different direction, it's like, well, you can't track all of them.
Yeah, but if you do the interceptor concept... Now, the whole reason they maybe didn't want to do the interdictor is, how are they going to get the Vegas planet? You don't need the Vegas planet.
Yeah.
It's other than the weird political message.
Like, you just don't need it.
You don't need it.
It's just not necessary.
You get rid of that. That way there's not the
whole... It does reduce the screen time for John Boyega. It almost... That's what it felt like to me, is that when they were done making... Like, they wrote the first draft. Yeah, reusable script that they were going to use. Someone went, do you realize that John Boyega doesn't have anything to do in this? Right? And they went, oh, crap, you're right. We got to add another about 25 minutes.
And that's the thing. You could have you could have cut the 20 minutes, but you still have him and Rose and...
Benicio del Toro.
Go to that. You have maybe more on
the
That's all you have to do is just have them on the ship longer. Trying
you have
to
more.
Figure out what to do, evading like maybe evading the BB-9 or whatever, and that's
that would be neat.
Yeah, this BB-9 is like he figured out something's wrong and is continually following you guys, and maybe that's the story. That would have been better. I like the idea that because they even had where they're all in the same ship and they cross each other but don't realize it. Where Ray is going this way and John Boyega is going this way, and it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. I kind of.
And they could have still had that.
Yeah, you could have done it more.
Yeah, because not only that, it's the, and you could have done an interesting callback. It's the, because at some point, Ray goes to the First Order ship. And you have Chewie, you know, that went with her in the Millennium Falcon. It would have been really cool in the callback to Empire. You do the, because he basically drops out of hyperspace, launches the probe,
yeah,
whatever, the photon torpedo coffin with her in it.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
And then takes off again to like wait for her message to come back.
I guess.
It would have been cooler. You do a callback to Empire. It's the, she goes, hey, I need to go out there. But once we get there, you can't hype her out. You know, what are you going to do? He goes, makes a noise. And she goes, that will work. He goes, oh, done it. You know, it's done it before. They hop out of hyperspace. She launches the thing. First Order guy goes, track that ship. We've lost it. And then there's the scene of it.
Him stuck to the back of it. That would have been good.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, would have been a nice callback.
You know, it would have been the, okay, so that's what he's doing in all of this. In fact, you even have it where when they do
at least it would have made sense because he drops her off. And then, like, all of a sudden, there's like, oh, they're back together again. Yeah. And it's,
wait.
Okay, that's really cool. How did that happen?
Yeah.
I feel like the same thing of the previous movie where it's like, okay, it's really cool that Poe's back. How did that happen?
Yeah.
you just like glossed over an entire storyline. Anyway, wait, that would have been more, that would have made more sense of him just like chilling, waiting for
Her message.
Like waiting for her message.
And even that would have been neat in a slightly, actually it'd be a callback to the, I'm kind of annoyed by the Leia in space pulling her stuff back, but would be really awesome if that's how she gets back to Chewie is almost the same way, and that, oh, easy, you go down a chute into the trash area and then you release it into space, so it's all the trash coming out. And
but at least it would have kind of had the story be a little tighter. But yeah, bottom line is they had some storyline that didn't need to be there. I don't know. And then, of course, the end, it would have made more sense to have Luke and Leia together, you know, go out to stop the forces and allow everyone to escape and
basically be a deterrent.
Yeah.
Both of them together, because you've obviously now, you've shown that she is strong in the Force.
Yes.
So it's both
and they would
of them.
Have just like used the Force in different ways, and it would have been neat to see, Leia use the Force in like the way that she could, and Luke use the Force in the way that he could, and that would have been different.
It would have been different ways.
Yeah, you would have maybe seen just like Leia maybe just pushes a gorilla walker over, like, oh, that would have been pretty neat, just using the Force.
Yeah,
while maybe like Luke, you know, crushes it or something, or does something, or uses his lightsaber to cut off its foot, or I don't know.
There's maybe
it doesn't matter. And then you could have had the Kylo Ren maybe show up at the end or something, and them fight, and Leia say, I can't fight you or something, and
you're my
maybe
son.
that's how she gets away. Although it's like hindsight, of course, is that it would have been better had she been the one to die in this movie.
We're still gonna get a Force Ghost.
Luke. So I don't know. There was a number of, and even then, it's like on the planet, you know, just again, another nitpick. They established earlier in the film that Rose is just like the tube lady. I just like work on tubes and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not a hero. And I'm not a pilot. And then at the end of the movie, she's a pilot. And it's like, well, you just established earlier in the movie that she's not a pilot. And now she's a pilot. Like, what? Why? I get what they were doing. The whole concept was anybody can be a hero.
Yes.
That's what they were trying to get the point across. But don't, like, make a point of saying that you're not, she's not a...
Well, not only
all
that.
All you have to do is say, because of my sister, I can't be a pilot anymore. Or, you know, something establishing that she was a pilot and isn't a pilot anymore.
Or you do because those weren't necessarily space-faring ships.
That's true.
You do the whole, all I do is work on tubes. I left my firm, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, gig. Something to establish that.
Something to establish that, okay, you don't know how to fly a spaceship, but you can at least operate
whatever
a sled.
Whatever those things.
It looked like a sled. It was
a sled.
They even, like, hey, lower the sled. It was just like.
The ship didn't make any sense, but anyway.
Yeah, that, I'm like, hey, it was neat that had the trail, the red, and all that, and
yeah,
but
it was a good visual.
That actually did lead to a complaint that I heard somebody mention. It's the wait, she crashes into him really close to the gorilla walkers, but yet somehow both of them make it back to the base with no problem.
Yeah, I was gonna let that go too. I didn't get, you know, they had it looked like there was about 40 people getting to the Falcon, to evacuate. And it was like, well, it sure looked like there was more than 40 soldiers in the trenches, and they weren't fighting anybody.
The only, like, really major...
I guess there was some fighting, but it didn't look like
It didn't look like they annihilated that entire, like, trench.
Yeah, maybe that was what they were trying to establish, is all those guys died, but
you didn't show me.
You didn't, yeah.
You didn't show me, and you didn't even do something that maybe implied that it, like there wasn't enough in there that made me go, okay, now that's why you only have 40 people.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
I like the fact that, like, we're, like, 52 minutes in. Haven't actually talked about Snoke?
Yeah, Snoke getting killed.
The fact that we haven't talked about this maybe shows you, like, wow, we thought he was going to be the big bad. He's in two scenes.
Yeah, and then he kind of unceremoniously gets killed, and we don't find anything out about him, and it's...
It's the two complaints in that the first film, you almost, like, built up two separate things to be big deals.
Yeah. Who is Snoke?
Who are
Rey's parents? And I get what they're trying to say with Rey's parents or nobody.
Which is the same thing in that anybody can be a hero.
Anyone can be a hero. I get it. You probably shouldn't have made a big deal about who their parents were in the previous film. That's more of a... That was a previous film's problem, not necessarily as much as yours. But even this film kind of made Snoke to be out to be this major villain, and then, that's two movies in a row. And in fact, it's an important part of the backstory, because, you know, it's Snoke somehow got to Kylo Ren during the training with Luke, and it's like, well, how? And Snoke knows who Luke is, so and Luke knew that Snoke exists, and Leia knew that Snoke exists, so
who's this guy?
Who is he?
And actually, General Hux kind of making a big deal about, like, he's dead.
Like, he's
dead. Our leader's dead.
Yeah, like, yeah, this is a supreme leader.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big deal, and, you know, it was a nice, the king is dead, long live the king kind of moment, but
you know, with Kylo Ren. But even then, it's like, I mean, you're an interesting character, Kylo Ren, but I mean, you haven't established that you're anything like Snoke.
Not only that,
you don't seem to have a plan.
Not only that, the way Hux treats Ren is almost, wait, why are you the Supreme Leader and not me?
Yeah, I mean,
me?
Right, like, Hux even kind of says, why are you the Supreme Leader?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the way this works. Like, almost like there is a hierarchy, and Kylo Ren is like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm in charge now, and which is, you know, yet again, like, okay.
So how does this work in this universe?
Yeah, exactly. If the Supreme Leader just got killed, and his flagship got at least severely damaged, and presumably there would have been other officials that would have been hurt, if Kylo Ren, who is not the second in command, just says, I'm taking over, it's like, well, that's a civil war within the First Order.
Which, like, actually, that would be an interesting third film.
Now the First Order shouldn't be all cohesive, because there's no way those people, there's going to be a ton of people that are like, wait a minute. Like, why is he in charge? He's not supposed to be in charge. Like, because it always seemed to me like Hux was the one had a higher ranking than Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren seemed to almost occupy the same status that Darth Vader did in
A New Hope.
A New Hope, where he clearly wasn't the one that was in charge.
Not only that, it's Grand Moff Tarkin treats, you know, Darth Vader almost like, the fact that, like, Leia even makes a line like, oh, you're holding Vader's leash.
Yeah, I knew you'd hold Vader's leash. Yeah. And Grand Moff Tarkin doesn't even think twice about saying, Vader, stop.
Yeah.
And Vader does. And it's Vader, like, okay. Grand Moff Tarkin is the one that's in charge.
Yes. And that's kind of, it almost comes across as, like, at least in the previous one, Hux is a Grand Moff Tarkin level to him. And that's, it's like,
yeah, I always got, you know, through all three of the films of New Hope, Empire, and Jedi, Vader was just the Emperor's representative. So the Emperor would send him to handle situations that weren't being handled.
Yes.
But he wasn't second in command. There was a whole structure that was, you know, with leading everybody. I mean, I never really got the feeling that even Captain Phasma didn't seem like she didn't report to Kylo Ren. She reports to Hux.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if Kylo Ren wants to ask a question, that's fine. And she'd, like, respond, but I didn't even get the feeling that she feared him. It was like, look, I don't like you. I don't really care what you do.
You do your...
I report to Hux. Hux reports to Snoke. That's how it goes.
Yes. And I am in charge of all the
stormtroopers. I'm in charge of this, yeah. So, so that would be interesting in the next movie to see factions of the First Order say, you know, this is not what... We don't agree with this. This guy should be in charge. This guy should be in charge.
That would be neat.
Yeah, that would be cool. That was always what was, you know, in the some of the later in the fiction after Jedi was always this concept of, okay, the Empire was spread out and had a ton of ships. They all weren't at the Battle of Endor.
No.
And that you still had other things. There were still other battles to fight.
Yeah, because the thing is, it was the regional governments.
Yeah.
You know, control, you know, generals or whatever.
So all those regional governors would be like, I'm still in charge.
I'm still in charge of this. I'm still in charge of this area. Screw you guys.
Yeah.
I'm not letting
I still have plenty of Star Destroyers.
Yeah, and that would have been neat.
Yeah.
But we didn't get that.
We didn't get that.
Also, the fact that we're an hour in and we just mentioned Phasma, which is like, she is like the bit character of a bit character in this film.
Like, what a waste.
Like, oh my God. Because it's like, first film, I was like, okay, cool. She's going to be awesome. This is going to be great. This is going to be her. Never mind.
Okay, so second one.
Okay.
Oh. Never mind.
It's like, if she shows up at the third one, it's like hey,
wait a minute.
How did you survive the last one? I thought you were pretty much dead.
Yeah, I guess we didn't see the body, but...
And if you're not dead, why would I care now?
Yeah. Actually, specifically, the battle between Finn and her, where it was like, that's what I was thinking, because their battle where they're fighting each other, and yada yada, was very similar to Empire, and that was the one where I was thinking, where they specifically say, see, they have this like emotional battle, and there's not a major battle going on behind them. And it's like, that's exactly what it was in this film.
Yeah, it's an emotional battle between the dude.
They're having this fight while a huge battle's going on behind them.
Which was the issue with Return of the Jedi, is there's that battle and there's a giant battle going on in the background.
But at least it wasn't happening literally
in the same room.
In the same room. This was like, this is literally in the same room. And it's like,
Not only that, it's like, oh yeah, she is in this film.
Even then there was like so much that could have been said of, you know, like, you know, of, you could have really gotten into the her bringing up honor and duty and like you were trained for your life.
You're a coward.
You're a traitor. You're a rebel.
Oh no! It's you're a deserter.
You're a deserter.
And you could have almost written me really awesome if Rose had said almost the exact same words when it looked like he was basically deserting
you're
for
a coward and a deserter.
And then you have her say the exact same thing.
Yeah, and then he goes, "I'm not a coward." You know, like, it's like you stole me from my family. You know, blah 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 blah. It would have been like really emotional. It's like, oh wow, it's written in a way where it's like you get what Captain Phasma is saying. It's like, you know, this is our life. This is like what my life is. This is what my life has been. All I can remember, and you deserted. Like you know. I trusted you, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would have been like a nice dichotomy. Instead, it kind of like...
It was pointless.
It was kind of pointless.
It was the...
You know, I'm just a rebel. Like, I guess at the end of the day, maybe I am just a rebel scum, you know? That was a nice little, like, whatever, but everything led up to it was like, meh, whatever.
All right. Well,
we never really did talk about the Rey... Kylo Ren stuff.
Oh my god.
It was really good. I
liked
it.
That's the thing. I don't have a complaint.
It was like, it was pretty cool.
It was the whole them like force talking.
Yeah, them force talking was really cool. It was like an interesting concept. It was I'm down with this.
I'm super down with this. Like, I want to see this more in the third one.
Yeah, this was like really.
This is a
really
good way neat. To like have two characters in two separate areas.
And I guess it kind of really good. And I guess it did kind of establish. I didn't think of this. It established how Luke could do the same thing. You know,
it did establish
like,
that.
It was like, okay, he could do the exact same thing. If he could be there and interact and blah blah blah. Whatever.
But yeah, that's the funny thing. It's like, that's one of the few things that, like, I don't have a problem. We're good.
The 1A and 1B stories were, they were fine. Yeah. I could have gone for them getting a little bit more into a concept that's been in Star Wars Rebels, where they do run into some force aware creatures, and like one of them really makes a big point of, you know, this whole light side and dark side, you're missing the point. It's there is no sides to the Force, you know, and really that concept is like, oh, that's really cool. If this whole time the Jedi and the Sith have missed the point, and that's why they never can truly get ahead, is because they're missing what the Force is, and they're only trying to use part of it.
Yes.
And the ones that like get it and use all the Force are like, you know, in fact, this one character is like extraordinarily powerful. I mean, like powerful as in like he destroyed a Star Destroyer powerful. Like just himself was like, you know, F this noise, like crush.
Yeah.
and it's like, wow, like no one can do that. And this whole thing is like, there is no sides of the Force. And, you know, there was a whole story where they're like, I'm just not getting what you're saying. There's a light side and dark side. And you're like, no, there isn't. Like, there isn't. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. And which, I thought that they were going.
That's what it seemed like they were going.
Especially when she, like, went into the dark side and came back out. And it was like, oh, cool, they're going with that. And especially with Kylo Ren kind of coming over, it was like, they're going to go with this yin and yang thing of
you because need, there is even a yin and yang.
And it was like, you need each other. like to, in order to complete the Force, in order to understand what you should be doing. And you're like, both of you are missing what you're supposed to be doing.
And that was the whole thing, was like, even Yoda was all like, oh, you know, the books, page turners, blah, you know, let me light that on fire and, you know, go, hey. Because, like, they even talked about how, like, Luke separated himself from the Force.
Yes.
It's like...
Which I guess is mentioned in other stuff. I didn't realize this.
All right.
In previous stuff, like, even Vader mentions it, of you, it's almost, what do you call it, like, penance.
Oh.
Like, you, if you, in order to try to reset yourself, you separate yourself from the Force.
All right.
It's like, okay, whatever. I don't get why he did it for 25 years, but whatever. Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
All right.
Well,
it's not even 25 years. That's the thing. It's whenever...
However old... I guess it's only been like 5 or 10.
Let's go 10.
Because Kylo Ren was... I did like that. I did like the Rashomon aspect of their separation. There was the... What people thought the story was, what... Kylo Ren thought the story was, and what Luke admitted the story was, and it was like, oh, that's pretty cool. How there's like we see different versions of it, and how you can kind of see.
I like the fact that
I get like how there's like from a different point of view. Yeah, it could kind of look like that.
I like the fact that like you see the same thing like roughly 3 times, and Luke looks different.
Looks different all 3 times.
Yeah,
it's like really cool. So. That's what it's like. You're torn in this movie.
That's the problem. It's like, oh, that's in really the movie. Awesome.
It's like, God, that like the way you did that and the way like the thought you put behind that is so cool that you went to that detail, and it's like, but you didn't even think this part of the story out at all. And
that's the problem. It's like the wow, this is really awesome. This is great. I love this Space Vegas. And really,
yeah, it's almost like. It's almost like the that's like an awesome steak and like an okay potato. The salad was nice, you know, and it's like, you know, it was like, well.
And my drink's been empty for an hour.
Yeah, and I'm like, I've been waiting for an hour for my drink. It's like the potato isn't like horrible, but it's like I've had better. And like there's no croutons in my salad, but the steak is amazing. And that's what it kind of felt like.
How's the meal? Well, the main course was great.
Yeah, it's like the meal in general wasn't great, but it's like I went there to have a steak, and the steak was awesome. Like, what about everything else? Like,
it could have been better.
But it's like, so how you rate your steaks? Like, well, it was one of the best steaks I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
But the baked potato was blah, the salad was bland.
Would you go there again?
And I had to ask 5 times to get my drink refilled.
Yeah.
It's like, so would you go there again? It's like... Well, that's an interesting idea. It's like, do I want to have the greatest steak I've ever had again, but have a miserable time and everything else? That's what I like. They really put a lot of effort into the 1A and 1B story, and then everything else just kind of fell by the wayside. And the Laura Dern character was wasted. I would have enjoyed her.
Here's the problem. I really liked her as a character, even though you don't get a lot of her.
What's funny is because at the beginning, you're like, I hate this character. By the end, it's like... This sucks. I really would like to have this character continue because I want to see more of it.
Which is annoying because you could have had her tied into what you... I don't even know if we mentioned on here because we were talking about Star Wars earlier, is the whole... Being a leader means you make sacrifices.
Yes.
And you make the decisions that, hey, not everyone's coming back.
Yeah, that's kind of gets back to the in the beginning where I was saying in the story... Poe wants to continue on with the bombing raid, and Leia doesn't, and they continue on with the bombing raid anyway.
Which actually saves them in the long run.
Yeah, it destroys the dreadnought, but all the bombers are lost, and Leia gets all pissy saying, sometimes being a leader means doing whatever, and it's like, no, just from like any basic military leader would just like scream up and down, no. Like, if I could trade 12 bombers for destroying a dreadnought, I'm doing it every single time.
Yeah.
There's no scenario where you could tell me that was a bad idea. And so all they would have to do is just flip it. Had Poe been the one saying, oh, all the...
we've given them, enough
like,
time. Let's all come
back. Admiral or Princess Leia or whatever, General Leia, like, we don't have enough fighters to defend our bombers. They're going to be destroyed. And if she would have said, we'll continue on anyway. And
that dreadnought needs to be destroyed.
And it's like, but at what cost, blah, blah, blah. And then you can add that whole argument of being a hero. You know, being a hero means you don't have to worry about, like, making the decision of who lives and who dies. Because you've already, like, you've risked your life to save as many as you can, as opposed to being a leader who has to know that I have to trade lives for the good of the fleet. I have to purposely have people die. And that's like, that's what being a leader in the military is about, is knowing sometimes you know that people aren't going to come back. And that's the hard choices.
And that would have been more
interesting. And then you would have gotten, you know, later on you would have seen, you know, the transition made at least a little bit more logical. I got what, I'll tell you what I had to do. It's
reverse the two characters.
Yeah, there's like a number of things where all you had to do is just make a subtle change to the script, and there it is. You're done.
Hey, it's so much better.
Yeah, it's so much better. It's like tighter. And could they stop? Could he stop? I've heard this more than once. It's like every time Poe's like in a battle, they have him say, "All right, everyone, tighten up." Where it's like, no, that's the exact opposite of what you want to do. Why would you want to do that? Why would all of you want to get into a tight formation where all you have to do is aim for a general area and you're going to get hit? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, no, you spread out. Like, why would you do that?
Not only that, I think that's even the line in the Star Tours ride.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's not what you do.
I mean, it's like, I guess it would make sense if it's you have a wingman you want to tighten up and that, like, his job is to protect you. But that's like, that's an oddly specific thing. That's not the entire, like,
no, that,
squadron.
You could have done tighten up in the beginning where you have bombers who aren't, you know, can't protect themselves. It's
easier to protect.
You do the fighters, you know, tighten up to your bombers, protect them. You're the cannon fodder.
Exactly.
There are sometimes where it's all like, have these guys ever taken like any of these writers ever taken military battles or...
That's where it's, yeah, you kind of almost wish they would do that. Just bring in some people. I mean, I know this is getting way off target, but it's, you know, the...
Staying on target?
Yeah, where the problem of, like, after you watch... Really, what it's come to... Once you watch Strike Back, extrudes everything up for every other show for the rest of your life, because you realize, oh, like, that's the way they're supposed to do it. And then every other show and every other movie is painfully obvious. Well, you didn't even bother watching Strike Back, much less going through training. And
because you spent the last five minutes pointing your weapon at your partner.
Yeah, exactly. You just pointed your weapon at your partner. That guy just moved in front of you, so that means that now either you shoot him or you don't shoot anybody. You didn't clear the room. You didn't do this.
You didn't do that.
Like, yeah, you said clear when no one opened up the closet door that wasn't clear.
That is the problem with watching some stuff that's like they make a point of being really good at that.
Yes. And so really that's what it comes down to, is when you do watch movies or TV shows that do go through that trouble, it makes it worse to watch all the other shows.
It also doesn't help that, like, you sit there and YouTube is full of, hey, this is the battle of blah, 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 and we'll explain it in like 25 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, oh, okay.
That makes sense.
And then you're watching, you know, Star Wars, and you're like, hey, this reminds me a lot of the battle of blah, 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 blah. They should do this. And they did the exact opposite.
Like, yeah, especially when it's like, whatever they did, the biggest mistake was they did this. And then Star Wars, oh, well, let's do that. It's like, oh, you did the exact wrong thing. Oh, that's awesome.
All right.
Anyway, well, we've beaten this dead horse, I think.
Yep. Go see Star Wars.
Yeah, go see Star Wars. Yeah, I'd still, bottom line is I'd stay still.
Once again, it's the best steak you'll ever have.
Yeah.
The potatoes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you're going for the salad, you're going to be disappointed. So I guess that's that.
All right.
Until next time, and there's plenty of movies for us to watch, so it could be any time. Until next time, Scarface is overrated.
Keep your ticket stub.